Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Monday morning here in the Valley of the Sun. Jody Jackson filling in for Brad Sesmat on the Brad Sesmat Show. Glad to have you with us. Unfortunately, though, it was not sunny and beautiful in South Florida yesterday. And rain or no rain, the Arizona Cardinals made mistakes that put them in the loss column once again, now at 5-7-1. Now, coming into this game, there was some thought, and yours truly included, that look, if the Cardinals could somehow win out, and the toughest of these matchups being at Seattle on Christmas Eve, okay, you know, maybe the Cardinals can get into the playoffs. But to win out, they would have been, they would have ended up having a shot at that. And now, unfortunately, at 5-7-1, there are just too many teams. You know, obviously the record's not good anyway, but you look at what the Cardinals did in 2008, getting in with a 9-7 record. But you go in and you say, this could maybe happen. And right now, though, with all the mistakes, we saw a lot of the same ones that we've seen over really the first 12 games of the season. So we'll talk a lot about that today. Bertrand Berry will join me a little bit later on in today's show. We also have Paula Bovin, who will join us at 10:35. And then after that, I'll talk a little bit about the Arizona Diamondbacks and their offseason. The winter meetings are now in the books. Some changes have been made. They brought in some pitching, one starter, one closer option, certainly a closer option to go into the season with Fernando Rodney. And then we'll talk about some of the other moves as well under general manager Mike Hazen. But as we continue with Cardinals, you know, you look at this season and it's really tough to explain how this has happened. This is a team largely made up of the same group of guys, and they added Chandler Jones. But there were some concerning things from game one. Game one, you looked at the cornerback position and Brandon Williams was in there and he wasn't ready. So Marcus Cooper has taken over that role. And that's been kind of a difficult spot for the Cardinals. You look at the offensive line where the injuries have mounted. This right now to me is probably one of the top reasons why the Cardinals are not performing at a high level, because a lot of people are wondering why. We all are wondering, why was this team that was 13-3 last year and in the NFC Championship, why are they not performing? Special teams, another area where, yes, the snapper is a different position. There's a different player there. But, you know, Mike Leach retired, and that was really supposed to be the only change. You would expect everyone else to continue to perform at the same level. That hasn't happened. That reared its ugly head in Miami yesterday as well. So, you know, these are some of the top reasons why they're struggling right now. And they have three more games left. And it is about all the things you hear, all the cliches. You hear about pride. You hear guys, frankly, that are free agents that, you know, they're talking about just putting good performances on tape because they might not be with the Cardinals next year, or even if they want to prove to the Cardinals, look, I want to be back and here's what I can do, and we're not giving up. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, by the way, did not give up yesterday. This was a game where, you know, and I'm a native of South Florida, so, you know, people have been asking me, does it rain like that a lot? Yes, it does. It rains like that a lot. Not always in December. December's usually supposed to be kind of nice down there. You might get some cooler and drier weather. Unfortunately for everyone that went down to my hometown, which is actually more North Miami, but basically that area. And, well, yeah, the stadium is in North Miami, in fact. You know, they've actually done a nice job remaking that stadium. I was down there for the Florida State-Miami game, which also ended tragically with a missed extra point, by the way. So it's been a bit of a heartbreaking football season, although Miami Hurricanes are all right. But here in the Valley, all the teams right now are struggling. And we'll talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks later on, because theirs is ahead of them, of course, when we begin spring training. But when you look at the Cardinals and the rain yesterday and everything that happened, you had the feeling this was going to be just a crazy game. I mean, both teams were exchanging turnovers, four by the Cardinals yesterday and three by the Dolphins. The Dolphins fumbled as they were heading into the end zone. Cardinals almost had another fumble that they could not corral, but they had a chance. This crazy game with all of these twists and turns, and it was tied at 23. And then they just had to get a stop, but it didn't help as far as the punt going into that possession for the Dolphins. It wasn't great, so they had some decent field position, and they ended up kicking the field goal to win it. And after the game, Carson Palmer talked about, you know, the fact that Bruce Arians did address the team and basically said, you know, because until that point it had been, look, playoffs, playoffs, we're aiming for playoffs, and basically said, yeah, we're not going to make the playoffs. It looks like that's not going to happen. And Carson said, you know, it was tough to hear it, and it didn't really set in yet. Well, I'm sure on this Monday it is setting in a little bit. And now the guys have to focus on, you know, what lies ahead, playing these last three games and doing their jobs because their futures are at stake. And, oh, by the way, a home game in front of the home fans. The final one of the season will be this week against the Saints. And then two divisional games on the road, which, look, I don't care what the record is. This team has had embarrassing moments against the Seattle Seahawks. They don't want to do that. They've had success against Seattle up there. They've won the last 2 years up there in that stadium. And Seattle coming off just an embarrassing loss against Green Bay. And then the Rams, who are a mess right now. In fact, they're calling for Jeff Fisher's head on the front of the LA Times today after they were just blown out by the Falcons. The NFC West, in fact, 0-4 once again, second time in 3 weeks. So no one seems to want to win. Eric, you want to chime in? Eric Sorensen joining me? I mean, you know, you pointed this out. And Seattle's the surprising one, but six turnovers will do that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Jody, you jogged a memory. After week one, the disappointing loss to the Patriots, I remember I was sitting in the Cardinals' little media area there waiting for Bruce Arians, where I see you almost every week. And I was talking to one of the Cardinals' staffers, and we were just talking about, he said that we'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's just one game. And at the time, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Yep, they will be fine. And now here we are. We're almost to Christmas, and they were never fine. They were right. Always living dangerously on the edge of the playoff cliff, and yesterday they got pushed off. But I mean, it's pretty simple. Last year this team was 7-1 on the road. This year they're 1-5. I mean, that's, you can cut it any way you want to, but if you can win on the road, you're going to make the playoffs. If you can't win on the road, you're not going to make the playoffs in the NFL, and that's pretty much the way it's been.
That's a great point, E, because this team had really shed that image of how bad they used to be on the road, and they fixed that. You know what I mean? It was great to see because, you know, and then the fans started going. You know, there were fans in Miami yesterday. There was a lot of pride in that. And then they kind of reverted back to that. And what you notice about it is, you know, you think of these nightmare moments like the blocked kick in Buffalo, you know, and where the Bills take it back. And then that kind of same situation yesterday.
Yep.
This is a team that they seem totally discombobulated on the road. They seem like they don't have that confidence on the road. And you wonder why, because you still have a lot of veterans on this team. You have a lot on the defensive line, in the secondary, linebacker. Offensively, look, there are a lot of people that are quick to point the finger at Carson Palmer, and I know he has not played at the level he did last year. But I just see a totally different group of men in front of him, and I'm not putting all the blame on him. I'm just not.
Well, and everyone should take share of the blame. Bruce Arians should take share of the blame. Steve Keim should take some of the blame. It's in a season where you sort of – I wasn't as high on the Cardinals as everyone else was. I definitely thought they were going to make the playoffs, but I didn't see them rolling through the NFC West like they did last year. I didn't see them making the Super Bowl, but just these road games. I mean, like you said, great points. I mean, it's always – one or two plays. Yeah. They score yesterday. They're kicking the extra point. They have all the momentum. The kick is blocked, and all of a sudden, that's a three-point swing. Instead of adding one, you're giving away two, and you just can't continue to make those mistakes. And they hadn't beaten, until last week, a good team all season. I mean, their best win, I guess, was over Tampa Bay. They beat Washington, another fringe playoff team. Yeah. But, I mean, they've beaten the Niners twice. Everything has just kind of gotten sideways, and they've never been able to get things back on right track.
I think you're right about that Patriots loss. At the time, you know, people were like, it's fine, it's one game.
Sure.
But look, it's your home opener, and it was against a team without Brady and Gronkowski, one of their top linebackers.
Still, though, that's still a Bill Belichick team. He's had all offseason to prepare. It's not like they went out there and laid an egg at home against Niners. But
you make a kick. Again, and Bruce Arians, it's sort of that fine line. You say, we make two kicks and we have two wins. He was talking about the Patriots game and the Seattle game. The interesting part about that, though, is how many times do you hear coaches say, well, it wasn't one, you know, I mean, it kind of is a convenient, you can spin it either way. You know, should it come down to a kick? Well, yeah, if it did and he didn't make it, then you can put it on the kicker. But there were so many things leading up to that where maybe you should have taken advantage of something. But at the end of the day, and this is for Chandler Catanzaro and the long snapper, and which there have been two of them this season, and for Drew Butler and for everyone on special teams to look at. Unfortunately, that's the nature of your job. It's going to be in a clutch situation. It might be. It's going to be at the end of the game. It might be a punt like yesterday at the end of the game. But it's all about execution. But you say, okay, well, why? What did the cornerback execute on the first touchdown pass that Tannehill threw to Stills? Execution comes in all parts of the game, all 60 minutes of the game. And that's what the Cardinals are dealing with right now. So we've got plenty more coming your way on the show. Bertrand and Barry and I work on Cards OT, which is the postgame show for all the Cardinal home games on Fox Sports Arizona. He'll join me to give us his take on what he saw yesterday. And there's no question that was disappointing. Bertrand had him going to, you know, he's from the Houston area. He had him going to the Super Bowl. But that won't happen, unfortunately, for the Cardinals. I think the playoff chance is down to about 1%, so we can't officially say that they're done. But 1% is not good, as we know. I was not a math major, but that is not good. All right, so stay with us. Much more coming your way as we continue here on Sports 360 AZ. Jody Jackson filling in for Brad Sesmat. Now joined by former Cardinals defensive end Bertrand Barry, an analyst for the team, has his own show called Off the Edge with B-Train, and, of course, my co-host on Cards OT on Fox Sports Arizona. Bertrand Barry, how are you doing, B-Train?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself? Good to talk to you.
It is great to talk to you. I'm filling in for Brad, of course. And you know what? I wish it were better news for the Arizona Cardinals after Sunday's game in Miami. So let me ask you, and there are a lot of reasons why the Cardinals lost that game. But for you, what is the biggest one? What's the biggest disappointment?
The biggest disappointment is just the missed opportunities. You look at all the mistakes that were made. The fact that there were so many turnovers from the Cardinals' perspective. And then with all of that, you still had a chance to win. And the defensive stop that didn't happen in that last drive against the Dolphins, you have to be able to come up and make those plays. And unfortunately, they didn't. And they were able to kick the last-minute field goal. Game over. Thanks for coming. God bless. Good night. It really is a microcosm of the whole season, Jody. We've talked about missed opportunities for this team, an ultra-talented roster that just did not play up to its talent level, and that's really a shame because I think they let a season get by that they really shouldn't have.
You know, you're right. So much talent on this team. And on defense, they still had a lot of talent out there on the field, but it hurt when Tyvon Branch left the game. Let me ask you, though, offensive line-wise, they were really decimated yesterday, especially when DJ Humphries left. They were decimated when you look at the injuries previous to this game on Sunday. Were the Cardinals' offensive woes, can we attribute them to the beat-up and inexperienced O-line, or did you expect more from that group?
I expected more from the group. Yes, they're beat up, and yes, they've had their injuries, and all those things do play a factor. But at the same time, whoever is out there, we've talked about next man up for years here, and that's been a moniker for this team. So that's not really an excuse. And unfortunately, on yesterday, the offensive line was just dominated by the Dolphins' defensive line. There was at no point in that game did you feel comfortable as far as running any type of plays and getting in any type of rhythm because they were not able to establish the line of scrimmage. And when you can't do that, it's very difficult to throw the ball because you don't have the time, and it's very difficult to run the ball because there's really nowhere for David Johnson or any running back to run the football. I mean, you saw the Wildcat where Kerwin Williams came in and had some success a few times, but that was more misdirection. But when it was time to get those much-needed yards, they just couldn't do it because the offensive line could not hold up.
Yeah, that might be the most misleading stat of the game. The Cardinals with 175 rushing yards, but really couldn't turn it into a sustained offense. All right, so let's talk about special teams because the Dolphins won it on a field goal. But look, the Cardinals did battle back. They tied the game. But you look at really a seven-point swing when you talk about missed extra point, missed field goal, and then an extra point that got blocked and taken back for two. But this isn't the first time. Why is this happening with the group that is largely the same group? And I know they've suffered some injuries there, too, but you're looking at Catanzaro, Butler. You do have a new snapper. There have been some changes, but special teams might be the most disappointing part about this team.
It's maddening, Jody. I can't ever remember in all my years playing football where special teams have played that much of a part in so many different games that didn't go the team's way. And This is uncharted territory. I've never seen this, and I think at some point major changes can and should be made. And you feel bad. You never want to talk about men losing their jobs, but if you're not performing, it's very difficult to defend you keeping them. I mean, with Drew Butler at a critical moment, you give a 31-yard punt. I don't understand that. Chandler Catanzaro, the block extra point, the missed field goal, all those points add up. And if you were to have those back, I think you have a much different outcome of the game. So really, really disappointing. I know Amos Jones, the special teams coach, is going to get a lot of the blame. Not deserving, but when it is your specialty and it is your position and your phase of the game that is underperforming, then unfortunately they're going to look at the coach. And for him, I really fear for his job security, because when you've had this much lack of success in one section of the team, there's going to have to be changes.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. I think there will be change, whether it is in the coaching position or with some of the guys on those special teams units. Once again, talking with Cardinals analyst Bertrand Berry, B-Train. You know, I know you were so excited about the season. We all really were. You were even thinking, you know, Super Bowl. We all were thinking that the Cardinals, after going to the NFC Championship last year, might be able to get there to the Super Bowl this year, take that next step. But now, after taking a step back, do you see wholesale changes with this team, or just a tweak here and there? I mean, obviously, you've got Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald under contract, and, you know, those guys are components of this team, even though they're both aging right now. But when you look at as a whole, if you're Steve Keim, what type of changes are you thinking of making?
Well, I don't think you're going to see huge wholesale changes. Keep in mind, Jody, that there are 22 free agents that are going into the offseason. So there is going to be some guys that, just from an amount of money standpoint, that just won't be able to afford to keep. And so there will be major tweaking, if you will, but I don't think that's going to necessarily lead to wholesale. There's going to be some guys that aren't going to be brought back, and I don't know what that looks like. I haven't been in any meetings. I haven't talked to anybody about that. But the one thing that's constant in the NFL is change. And when you have a season where you underperform, there's going to have to be some sort of explanation and some sort of sense made out of why this team underperformed when you had a lot of the pieces back from the year before when you had so much success. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I wish I could tell you some specifics, but I'm just as confused as everybody else. I didn't see this coming. There's no way you could have told me after week 14 that this team would be 5-7-1 on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And I think a lot of people at the facility feel that way, and there's a lot of frustration over there. And when there's frustration in professional sports, it's a bottom line business. And if you're not doing what you need to do to contribute in a positive way, then they're always going to be looking to find somebody else.
It hurts because so many close losses. You look at the Patriots, the tie with Seattle, not a loss, but could have been won on a kick. And now this game, which was also a 3-point loss, and the Rams loss earlier in the season just by 4 points. So it's so hard. Yeah. I know you look at it too and you say, if they had just won this one or two of those four. Now, as a player, okay, you've been in locker rooms, you've had success with the Cardinals in 08, of course, going to the Super Bowl, but you've been in situations like this too where the team is struggling. Three games left. You know, Patrick Peterson, I know yesterday, said, look, we just have to move forward. We want to put together our best efforts, and that's the right thing to say. But in that locker room, how hard is that? Is there natural motivation, or how does this team come out with one more home game and two divisional road games and continue to fight?
Well, the one thing that you have to do as a professional is you have to go out and do your job. Keep in mind, even though the playoffs are not realistic, I mean, there's a chance, but I think we can all rest assured that the Cardinals more than likely won't be in the playoffs this year. The thing that you have to play for now is your job. And the fact that you enjoy getting those checks on Monday, and if you don't do your job on a well enough basis, then you could find yourself not getting those checks in future Monday. So it's a performance-based business, and now the individuals have to make sure that they go out and do what they need to do to show the coaching staff and the upper levels that I'm not a reason that this team is underachieving. I'm going to make sure that I am considered an asset and a piece that is definitely needed in order to get this thing turned around. So there's plenty of motivation, even though there may not be the playoffs. There's always going to be the motivation to continue working. And, you know, with the NFL, there's no job security. There aren't guaranteed contracts. So it's still in your best interest to go out there and prepare and then perform as well as you possibly can, because you could be here today, but you could definitely be gone the next.
Well, that's right. And you mentioned those 22 free agents, whether it's here with the Cardinals or with another team. You don't want to be known as a guy that's mailing it in. That's, you know, it's about character, obviously. And that's something that every guy wants to prove that they have that. One guy, though, that has made everyone I know proud that he is wearing the Cardinal uniform, and really more than that, has astonished the NFL, David Johnson, once again, mm-hmm. even though the Cardinals lost this game. He's on a march toward history here. I know we talked about it on our post-game show recently, but how excited are you to see him perform during these final three games? And I think it's something for all Cardinal fans to kind of hang their hat on, and you look forward to him setting these records or joining these elite groups.
Other than Larry Fitzgerald, he's been the one bright, consistent spot for this team. You look at the fact that he just tied Edgerrin James for most games with 100 yards, all-purpose yards, and to start the season. And, you know, to be in that type of rarefied air, I mean, that shows that he's bringing it each and every week. And that shows that he understands, he has the maturity to accept the responsibility. And he's such an athlete. I mean, he's so gifted physically that, you know, it takes that in order to be able to do it. So, yeah, I definitely look forward to watching David Johnson run or catch the football, because you know exciting things are going to happen if he has the ball in his hand. So, you know, we have one home game left. I'm looking forward to working with you one last time. And I'll be locked in on number 31. I'll be watching every move he makes. He's a guy that loves the carries and loves the opportunities to handle the ball. So give him the ball. Just give it to him and watch him work. And I want to see him break the record. I want to see him hold it all by himself. I think it's funny, too, that, you know, both running backs that own the record played for the Cardinals once upon a time. You know, Edgerrin James played here, and now David Johnson, of course. So there's that tie-in in that respect. But, yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing David Johnson continue to compete, because he's shown that no matter what the situation is, he's going to do his very best in order to help this team be successful.
Well, Bertrand, I know on Sunday we'll shed a little tear. No home playoff game this year, but it is always so much fun working with you. And once again, thanks for sharing your insight today.
Oh, always a pleasure, Jody. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Bertrand.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Hi, everyone. Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona filling in for Brad Sesmat. And yes, it has been an eventful weekend here in the Valley. The games that went on, especially for the Cardinals down in Miami against the Dolphins. So let's bring in Paula Bovin, AZ Central columnist, and a lot to get to, Paula. The Cardinals, really none of it was surprising, I'm guessing, to you, given that the Cardinals have made a lot of the mistakes they made Sunday. They made them, you know, over and over again in the previous 12 weeks. So what was your take, just your initial reaction from that game?
You know, Jody, I actually was a little surprised. I sort of felt like maybe this was the game with so much at stake at this game. And it's hard for me to shake what they were last season. And I know that we've seen all the season their shortcomings, but I really felt without sort of all the expectations and pressure that accompanied this game, they would deliver. And the fact that offense was so ineffective again, as bad as it was, surprised me a bit, because it, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty much eliminated them from the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at it and look at the inability in the passing game, which is really a strength of this team, they did have 175 rushing yards, but that was a little misleading. They couldn't seem to get it done at times when they needed it the most. And yet they still had a chance to win it, but they didn't, obviously a 3-point loss. So my understanding, Paula, is that you have a take on maybe the future of the quarterback position for the Cardinals. And we know Carson Palmer's getting older. We know he hasn't played at the level he did last year. What are your thoughts on what they should do moving forward?
You know, it's funny because the last couple of years I've always been good, you know, just draft a high quarterback or draft, not a high quarterback. That would be bad. A quarterback high in the draft. And that would really sort of, you know, get the guy prepared working with Carson Palmer. I think the bottom line is, and as good as Carson has been at times this season, I think it's worrisome, understandably, for fans what he's going to be next year. And I hate to be that person because I know how much he's prepared. I know he's talked about coming back next season. I think there's a chance he won't, but I think he will. But I think what they need to do now is be committed to signing a free agent in the offseason, either or maybe acquire someone in a trade. But it has to have somebody with a little bit of experience that will either, you know, battle it out with Carson, at least push him to be even better. Because Carson may be fine next year, or if they're in a situation where they need someone to plug a hole, that's someone who could play right away. I don't think the rookie quarterback is the answer. I mean, you look at what happened this year, guys like Jared Goff, some of these really good college quarterbacks drafted high, they're not ready. And I think even what we're seeing in Dallas, as good as Dak Prescott has been, I think that has to do a lot with a really good offensive line. I think the Cardinals' needs right now are immediate, and I think they need to really make it a priority to sign somebody in the offseason.
Well, they've had much more success with the free agent route than the draft, that is for sure, except for, it was trade with Kevin Cobb, but when you look at Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, both of those guys were picked up by the club, and it worked out well, Palmer coming in trade also from the Raiders. But it's interesting. I think you're right with the draft. It's just so difficult. You'd love to see them be able to get that guy. I know they're talking about a few options in the draft, but certainly not someone that could step in. Like you said, if Carson goes down, you know, Bruce is very loyal to Drew Stanton, though. There's no question that
no question.
He has said many times that he feels like, you know, he was going to roll with him a couple of years ago, as you know, Paula. So I don't know. It's an interesting question for sure if they would make that type of a move or not.
So. Yeah, and I've been just as a media member observing Drew Stanton, I've been so impressed with who he is in the sense of his loyalty to this team, his acceptance of being a backup. He's one of the guys, I don't think a lot of people know how much he's involved in the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's really embraced and accepted it. But I just kind of feel like he's a backup, you know, he's a backup that you want on that team. But I don't think he's your long term answer. And I think this team really needs to do something beyond Drew Stanton. I mean, it's great that they have him on the team, but I think they've got to find an answer. You know, it was interesting. I was reading an ESPN story a couple of days ago, and it was they were talking to Matt Barkley, who has had some decent games the last couple, I think before this weekend with Chicago. And he said one of the reasons for his renaissance is he watched Carson Palmer work so hard the past few years, maybe outwork everybody. So with Carson, it's not a question of, you know, how much he's giving to this team. Everybody has talked about his work ethic and preparation. But the reality is he'll be 37. Part of aging. I know he looked great last year. I just don't think you can count on it next season. Because I think, and I don't know what you think, Jody, but in a lot of ways, this Cardinals team still has a lot of talent from that defense, you know, to some of the offensive skill positions. They just broke down in areas that really hurt him this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the one thing that and people have talked about chemistry and just coming together. And last year, everything came together. And you don't get 13 wins in the NFL unless that happens. And, you know, Carson stayed healthy. That was the thing everyone looked at. But, yeah, this year, I mean, they've had key injuries on the O-line. They've had some injuries in the secondary. They've had a hole essentially at corner that I think they didn't maybe anticipate having such a weakness there. But this Cardinal team, they do that, and you look at it like that window, you know, you talk about, and I don't know about you, but I expect Larry Fitzgerald to be back. Steve Keim had said this morning, you know, that he's heard nothing different than Carson and Larry coming back next year, but that doesn't surprise me. What about you, Paula? Any chance Larry calls it quits after this year?
You know, I don't think so either. I mean, there's still for him that elusive thing. He's accomplished so much in his career, but, you know, the whole winning a Super Bowl, hasn't. And I don't know if he feels like they can do it next season, but I don't sense from him that he's ready to step away, nor do I do from Carson Palmer, just based on how hard he's worked. You know, he's still under contract with the team. So I think both of them will be back. And you're right. I mean, there are certain holes in that area and on that team. You know, the injuries to the O-line really hurt. I think that's going to be better next season. The whole wide receiver thing has been a bit of a mystery to me. I mean, I know John Brown, obviously, dealing with some unique medical issues, and that makes sense. But the, you know, beyond that, there's some head scratching going on as what has happened at wide receiver. So, but I don't think they're that far away. So it's really going to be interesting here coming up.
So Cardinals, you know, look forward to hearing your take and seeing your take on AZ Central as far as the quarterback situation. But it is a concern. It is something the Cardinals have to plan for. How about over the weekend we saw Lamar Jackson winning the Heisman? It's always, you know, my son was so looking forward to watching that ceremony. He loves it every year. He loves college football. And I was at a hockey game, of course, covering the Coyotes. But, you know, it's interesting because last year Christian McCaffrey was such an exciting player, didn't win it. And then this year Lamar Jackson comes and he really started so fast and had electric moments. And then their team, though, struggles. It was kind of an interesting year, I thought, for the Heisman. But there's no question Lamar Jackson is a player with athleticism that we don't see every day.
I absolutely agree. And I have a Heisman vote and I voted for him first, but I tell you, it was a bit of a coin flip because, as you mentioned, he had a strong start, but, you know, the team had some struggles, did not finish. He personally, I don't think, finished the way he wanted to. You had other guys that were finishing stronger, but I just found it hard to argue against him winning the Heisman just because of what he contributed to that team, his unique athletic talents. And I don't know if your son watched his speech. I thought it was, you know, he broke down a couple times, but it was really heartfelt. And it's sort of the beauty of why I still kind of gravitate to college sports sometimes. There's such a, I mean, moments like that, that it can be so important in somebody's career. So I had no problem with him winning. And like I said, in fact, I voted for him first, but I think there were three or four guys that were worthy of it this year. You could have flipped a coin.
Yeah, I have a vote as well. I voted for Jackson and then Deshaun Watson and then Browning, but certainly, you know, you can make a case for Watson too, but I'm with you. I agree that Lamar Jackson, when you look at the really what it is supposed to be about and you know, the best player, that, you know, he certainly filled that requirement. But you know, Paula, it's just one of those things where there was an article recently in your paper about this year and the way that it's gone with the Cardinals, the Suns, Coyotes, the where they're trending. And then, of course, the D-backs will get restarted. But, you know, it has not been a great year for sure. It's been one of the worst for all the teams collectively. I guess we're ready to turn the page to 2017 at this point, isn't it? It's one of those things you didn't see coming, especially when we were talking about Super Bowl, right?
Oh my gosh, it has been awful this year, Jody. Even as a kind of a media member trying to cover some of these things, I felt like I was writing the same thing about, you know, the team. I could just change my column and apply it to about any team. It's been really disappointing. And, you know, the Coyotes to me, and I know they've made some changes, and I know growth takes time, but there's got to be some accountability, I think, with that organization soon. It's been a while. And so that's been disappointing. Even the Suns, I mean, watching them, and I know they're young and I like Earl Watson and I saw some of those things early, but that showed promise. But last few games, I've just, you know, it's been disappointing too. You just feel like they're not delivering. They're not sharing the ball as much as they should. I feel a little more optimistic about the Diamondbacks. I really like a lot of moves they've made, the new hires they've made. Dan Heron, I think, is actually a great addition. I think he's going to bring something to that team. So, but gosh, it's been hard to, I'm sure for fans especially, to be optimistic, and it's no fun being in a city of losers.
It's rough because there's so many young players. I think with the Coyotes and the Suns, that's the issue. Obviously not with the Cardinals, but the Suns and Coyotes, it could be a long road because of the commitment to youth. I feel like they both have a direction. It's not like they I feel like, for example, the D-backs, they, with the last regime, you know, maybe now looking back, okay, we went in the wrong direction. Okay, then we made a change. They have the direction that they want, these teams, but it may take a while. Now, if it ends up like the Cubs, you know, it'll be fine. But rarely does that happen when you have a youth movement and so many guys pan out. It also takes the financial resources, you know, to be able to do that. And that's another thing that the teams hear. No one's making the big splash. So that's something that they have to do is grow it. But I'm with you. I am optimistic about the D-backs and the direction they're going to be going. So I think that a lot of people in the Valley, for a lot of reasons, look forward to spring training, but especially this year because of that reason, with some changes with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you made an interesting point. I mean, I think fans in this town at this point, all they want is some vision. You know, they know there's going to be some rough spots. They know with young talent, it's going to take a while. But there has been in the past, I think with all these teams, an issue about, do you really have a vision or are you just trying to plug holes? I mean, I think that was the sentiment with the Suns for quite a while. They were building just to make the playoffs, but not beyond that. So now they're not building that way. And that's a little bit scary, I think, if you're a fan. But the reality is, finally, if you have some vision, I think this town is patient enough to accept that because the other ways weren't working. So hopefully 2017 is a little bit more promising.
All right, Paula, thanks so much once again for being here. I know I'm just filling in for Brad. So if I don't see you before the holidays, Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Jody. Hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks. Paula Bovin joining us here on the Brad Sesmat Show. And Paula with an interesting take on the Cardinals needing a free agent quarterback to either come in and at least maybe push Carson Palmer. Obviously, you know, Paula feels like I do that he's a guy that could come back and be very successful next year. But it could be the opposite. It could be another step back after what we saw this year. So you just don't know. And that's Steve Keim's job as the general manager, planning for the future. Stay with us. More to come here. We'll talk about the Diamondbacks offseason. I'll take you through some of their moves and why they could be very important for this team to turn it around and maybe even have a winning record in 2017. That and more when we come back on the Brad Sesmat Show. All right, welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona filling in. And we just wrapped up with Paula Bovin. I said we would talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks, which we will. But right now, some news just coming down. Various media reports that Cardinals receiver Michael Floyd was arrested early Monday morning on DUI charges after falling asleep at the wheel. This according to the police in Scottsdale. So unfortunately, a situation with the Cardinals on the field where you look at it and you say this has been a poor season, and Michael Floyd on the field, a poor season. But now you hate to see this off the field. A guy that has not been in any kind of trouble here as a Cardinal. But there was an issue in college at Notre Dame, though. So you hope that this isn't a problem for Michael Floyd. You think about him as a person, and you're glad that obviously it did not result in any kind of a car accident or injury to another person. But hate to see that, no question about it. And Michael Floyd had a lot on the line this year on the field because there's a chance he might not be back as a Cardinal. And now you wonder, does this damage? Of course it does. It does damage a little bit of you know, the record as far as looking at what kind of trouble he might get in the future. So you wish him the best, but you hate to see that. So the Cardinals, Bruce Arians will be talking shortly just to maybe possibly update that situation, but I'm sure just focus on the game and the Cardinals losing to the Dolphins. So that's something to watch for sure, the Michael Floyd situation. Meanwhile, we did want to switch gears, though, and as promised, talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, the winter meetings just wrapped up, and there are always some splashy things happening. Of course, the Yankees signing Aroldis Chapman to a huge deal. The Chris Sale trade, that was a huge deal as well. And for the Diamondbacks, it was nothing really all that flashy. It was on Thanksgiving Eve, so before the winter meetings, that they traded for Taijuan Walker, who should slot in behind Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller, maybe that third spot in the rotation. He comes over from the AL West with Seattle. And he's a player that I followed coming out, a very top prospect, a lot of potential, has great talent. When you look at his array of pitches, he has plenty of them, and he throws hard. He throws with velocity. What he is learning to do, though, at a young age is learning to pitch. So if you look at the switch over to the NL West and some of the things that Mike Hazen likes about him, I think this is a move that can only work out well for the Diamondbacks as far as his upside. Does he have to do it? Does he have potential that needs to be realized? Of course he does. Of course, it's something that we won't know till you start to see him pitch at Chase Field. Spring training is fun and all. We saw that last year. Spring training records don't always matter. It's not about the Cactus League. It's about once the games start. So Taijuan Walker will slot in and bolster a pitching staff that was last in ERA in all of baseball. So that was a top priority, and they're already addressing that. And then you've got Fernando Rodney being signed to a one-year deal for $2.75 million, plus a bunch of incentives that could go up to $5 million. I like this signing. Yes, he is going to be 40 years old in March. And yes, last year with the Marlins did not have a very good season. But this is a guy who knows how to pitch. He knows how to close. And, you know, if you're the Diamondbacks, for this type of a price, I mean, they weren't going to spend a ton of money on a guy, you know, on like the top elite closers. I mean, we saw the Giants go out and spend a lot of money on Melanson. Even guys like a Brad Ziegler, you know, these guys are going to command quite a bit of money. I'm not sure if Ziegler will end up as a closer or someone in a setup role, but this is a good bargain deal for the Diamondbacks. And I'm a big believer in you work backwards from your closer position and then backward through the bullpen. You've got young options like Jake Barrett and Enrique Burgos. I feel those guys, they were not ready for that closer role. Too young, too inexperienced, maybe someday. But now you push them back, and they're in the seventh and eighth inning, maybe close if they have to. It makes them that much better if they have that anchor at the back. Hopefully Fernando Rodney can do that. Also, Jeff Mathis is going to play about 60 games at catcher. And this was a really telltale sign for a lot of people around baseball. Mike Hazen, no surprise. It's the little things. It's a lot of the things numbers-wise that we all know now with sabermetrics. Pitch framing is huge. Pitch framing can affect the game, and Jeff Mathis is very good at it. Wellington Castillo, while personally I loved Wellington, I loved what he could do with the bat, and I loved what he did, you know, in the clubhouse. But as far as pitch framing, it was not a strength for him. So they're making a change there. And Chris Herrmann will carry the load, but they may have to add another catcher. In fact, I would expect that because 162 games. I don't know if they're looking at Chris Herrmann playing 100 games or not. That should be interesting. So plenty of moves, I'm sure, to come still for the Arizona Diamondbacks as far as spring training is still a little bit away. It's kind of odd to talk about that during football season, but right now with the Cardinals, it's kind of been the theme today. It is setting in. The Cardinals are not going to make the playoffs. I think we talked about that 1% chance. Seems almost silly to talk about it, but they're not a team at 5-7-1 that probably should go to the playoffs, even if all the teams ahead of them in the NFC somehow falter and they should win out. You know, you look at it and say, is this a team that deserves it? And you would say, due to their record, no. So Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona, thanks for joining me today. Brad Sesmat's show continues here on this Monday in Arizona.